Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Think about the future of the human.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak life. Apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Say, raise your thoughts a little higher.
Everybody, it's 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on WGGM Radio, and I am your host every Monday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I am so happy that this week we got to bring Claire Bajo back on from Hawaii. She is a spiritual realtor, and she's just a spiritual advisor and more. She's got many, many things to talk to us about with Hawaii and her discoveries and everything like that. I wanted to make an announcement that today is Tessa Greenspan's birthday, so I'm going to send a special happy birthday shout-out to her. Happy birthday, Tessa. She's very known here in St. Louis for natural, healthy foods. She actually owned a natural health food store at one time, which is really cool. I would also like to put out there prayers for a little girl who is in Missouri named Kiara out. She has come up with some cancer. Started out, I think, that she was having problems with her eye and her nasal cavity. So she's been having chemo and radiation treatment. I saw a post about her here on Facebook from a friend of ours, and it sounds like the cancer has actually transferred to Kiara's lungs, her bones, and also she's got a brain tumor as well. So she's going to be doing a lot of chemo and radiation, so your prayers and healing light would really help this little redheaded 7-year-old girl that's going through this. So if you could, you know, extend your prayers to Missouri. She is going to the Mercy St. Louis Hospital here that is over here getting chemo treatments in the children's unit, so that would be really appreciated. So again, her name is Kiara Stout. You can find her on caringbridge.org/Kiara, K-E-I-R-A, Stout, S-T-O-U-T. She's a 7-year-old little girl. So again, that's caringbridge, CaringBridge.org. And then you can look up her name, Kiara, K-E-I-R-A, Stout, S-T-O-U-T. If you want to help out or, you know, offer prayers or comment, that would be really wonderful, I'm sure, to the family. She's a 7-year-old little girl with, you know, I think a sister and maybe some, you know, siblings as well. So your prayers will be highly appreciated. Again, back to our guest, we have the lovely Claire Baggio all the way from Hawaii. You can find her on Facebook at Claire Baggio. And you can call in to our station at 347-237-5339. Again, that's 347-237-5339. And with that, I'm going to bring Claire live, and we're going to hear a little bit more about what's going on with her. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Aloha, Amanda. How are you doing?
Aloha. I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you wonderful. It is such a pleasure to have you here and to have you talk about some discoveries that you've had and things like that. So I just really appreciate you being here. So let's talk a little bit more about what's been going on with you, and then you can later on let us know how people can get a hold of you.
Okay, great. So I am a spiritual real estate agent in Hawaii. I'm also an intuitive fiduciary because I end up working with the kind of psychic nature, your heart's calling, which is, you know, an intangible, you know, presence. But it is a fact that, you know, a lot of people typically buy property in Hawaii because their hearts are being called here. And that's pretty much what I've been studying for a lot of my real estate career and even on the side when I'm studying Lemuria, because it seems relative to why people are being called to Hawaii. So anyways, in my search for, you know, just answers on why the spirit, you know, reincarnates and what its reasons are for coming back into this life in this time, you know, it's supposedly what we're calling the Golden Age, or what prophecies call the Golden Age. The Hindu call it the Sutra Age.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been just really studying what that means, and seems like we have a beautiful future ahead of us with the technology that's being released. Of course, you know, we have disclosure with the UFOs and the ETs coming out. You know, the military can no longer hide the fact that they've worked with the extraterrestrial beings for a very, very long time, probably at least 100 years now. And the hollow earth, the inner earth, also called Agartha, the military had also taken trips into, I believe it was the North Pole. The South Pole, there's also an entryway into the inner earth as well, but I believe it's occupied by the Germans. And when Hitler went to kind of leave the scene, he took about 500,000 of his children, German children, into the inner earth and the South Pole, and built a community there. I'm sure there are over a million there people living in the inner earth on the South Pole now. But the North Pole is occupied by some beings that are very highly intelligent. They have UFOs. Admiral Byrd was the leader of the expedition that went through the Navy, I believe. And they had discovered, actually, Admiral Byrd was one of 5 planes that got kind of sucked into or magnetized into their civilization. He was the plane magnetized on the ground. They were met by an entourage of royalty that would led them to the leader of the inner earth, and got to have a talk with Admiral Byrd to tell him to, at the time, I believe it was the late 1940s, and he had been warned by the inner earth Agarthans to not bomb Hiroshima. And, of course, they went along with it. And then in 1952, that's when the UFOs flew over Washington, D.C. That was the inner earth beings who were warning them that they were watching. So there's a lot of really interesting UFO-related activity that actually comes from the inner earth, not necessarily the outer universe. So that's been a really cool discovery that I've been studying for a few years when I saw Admiral Byrd's expedition journal and the amazing technology that these beings had inside the earth. And so then I started looking for evidence of it outside the earth. So here in Hawaii, and I know on the island of Oahu and Maui, there are remnants of ancient structures underwater. And you can visit them when you're snorkeling. They have what they call a Hawaiian pyramid. I'm not sure what that is made of, but it's in Oahu. Here on the Big Island, they have a structure that's just outside the City of Refuge, which is a very sacred place. They have a lot of old Hawaiian temples. And so it really is showing me how the seafloor, at some point was part of the civilization before looks like a flood happened. There was a deluge. And so it's been interesting to kind of look more underwater than above water, because underwater it seems the people who were trying to hide the information weren't able to, demolish all the structures underwater. So looking underwater has a lot more artifacts than what's above water. Plus, when it's above water, kind of like the ancient Sphinx, how it looks different. It takes on a different feature with rain and with, of course, the newcomers to the planet to, redo things. But there's still remnants there that we can see, especially in the Grand Canyon. I don't know if you know David Hatcher Childress. He's one of the exploratory adventurers, and he was talking about the Grand Canyon and how they had found Egyptian remnants in the Grand Canyon. Did you hear about that, Amanda?
Yeah, that seems really familiar, what you're talking about. It sounds like something I've seen or read about. Yeah, that's really familiar.
Yeah, so they've got the mountain peaks are called Cheops Pyramid, Isis Pyramid, Pyramid of Ra. So there are a lot of ancient remnants that probably don't take on the same form as they did, very similar to Sedona, Arizona, and how those rock formations on the hill, the mountains have an old, ancient, way of speaking to people. So that's pretty much what happens here in Hawaii, too, is a lot of people resonate to certain areas of the island because there must be remnants of pyramids or places that they may have dwelt before. So there's some power here that people are just now starting to discover. So I've been really intrigued by it just because there's so much supernatural powers here. In Hawaii, we still have the night marchers, which are they are spirits from the past. King Kamehameha, our first king, the king that reunited all the islands, you know, supposedly he killed off all his family so he could make all the islands one, because pretty much all the Hawaiians are related in some way. So anyways, but he, you know, he united the islands, and he, interesting facts about him and the Big Island is that he, the capital city of Hawaii used to be in Kona, Kailua Kona, Hawaii. And this is where all the kings were born after King Kamehameha II, III. I believe King Kalakaua may have been born here. But anyway, there's a lot of power, or what the Hawaiians call mana, here. And the Night Marchers are King Kamehameha's warriors who march in the night. And on certain times of the moon, they'll march from the mountain to the ocean, all in a cadence. Mm-hmm. Typically, there's drums, there's torches. People not from Hawaii have seen them. I've never really seen them. I've heard them when I was staying up at the Kamehameha schools on Oahu. We were warned that they would be coming up, you know, traveling up and down the mountain. And I did hear drums, and I did see shadows on the wall walking by, but no one ever walked by the room. So I wasn't sure. But people on the Big Island, especially newcomers who have no idea what this is, they talk about seeing torches running down the hill and having it be a forested area. So we still have a lot of very raw, natural power here. And so I've just been studying that a lot. Recently, my phone, my iPhone 5, when I take a picture, when I take a picture of myself, there's light behind me. It's like a beam of light that's above me that kind of shades me out. And I've been wondering why that happens, but I know that on the Big Island here, when I would take a picture with my old phone, there would be a light that would beam in. This time, now that I take it with my iPhone 5, it's like a sunburst right above my head. So I've been working a lot with the orgone energy. And I've told you about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I've recently learned that the military had been studying it along with astral travel, time travel, remote viewing and that kind of stuff. So at the Montauk project up at New York State, they were studying the orgone energy. And I had been studying that for years. Of course, this was for the good of humanity to, you know, clean the water, clean the air, clean everything that needs to be cleaned on the earth, you know, and sending out my, you know, doing my work. And I noticed, you know, and then reading, watching a video on the, an interview with a military personnel from the Montauk Project that has since closed down because of the questionable testing that they did. It's just been it's been very, very intriguing. And as I learn more about what other people are studying, it really does help me to make it clearer on why I'm studying it. Anyways, I'm not sure if you had ever heard of the Montauk Project. Did you ever hear of it?
Yes, I have heard of that. That's
okay.
Really cool. You want to share a little bit more?
Sure. The Montauk Project was a military outfit. It was a military base, and I believe it was on a power ley line. But anyways, the military was using, it to test Tesla's teleportation device, and they were using children, people like mm-hmm. Stuart Swerdlow, Andrew Baggiago, maybe this guy Al Bielik, and Preston Nichols. They were all at some point working there or as children there on the project. The military was using children at the time to test their teleportation devices. And what they did was, I believe there was a UFO that crashed. The UFO was from Sirius. The military reverse engineered the chair that was driving the UFO, and the chair would teleport you to certain places wherever your thoughts were. So they would use children because their thoughts were so pure to see if it worked. So they would put these children in the chair and say, think of your most, you know, favorite thought. And they would, the children would be teleported there. Some children passed, you know, died because they had nightmares. They thought of scary places. And so what ended up happening, you know, to make a long story short, is the director of the chair ended up taking a nap in the chair one day after lunch and had a nightmare and created the monster that was in his nightmare. The monster came alive through the chair, through the series of programs that they had, and wrecked the base, shut down the base, tore up everything. I'm sure people died, and they had to shut down the base because it was no longer usable because this monster had come out of it and just caused havoc. So anyways, but what I learned from what they were testing on was the orgone energy, and that they were actually using sexual energy. I'm not sure if they were using it on the children or how they were testing it, who they were bringing in, but they were using the orgasm energy, and they call it orgone energy. And what they were using it for was to manifest, create and manifest their agenda through the orgone energy. So they created simulations of the orgone energy, which was through shock treatment. They had different ways of programming this energy to be triggered at certain times. I was just intrigued by it because I've been studying the orgasm energy and how it works to manifest for a long period of time. And here they were making, using orgone energy to manipulate the weather and, project their agenda on people. And it was definitely an eye opener. And I try not to dabble in the military too much because, you just never know, who's watching. But I have learned that, they pretty much, the UFOs and the ETs and the, outer space and inner space beings pretty much control what's happening right now. I'm really happy to learn that. Through the Galactic Federation of Light messages that I've been listening to, they're saying that, there's no way that the dark agenda can be implemented because the UFOs and the ETs, who may be our family, are controlling the military bases. So you notice there haven't been any missile launches lately. There haven't been any threats of nuclear, engagements. Anytime the military tries to do something, the ETs or the UFOs will come to the, fly over the base and shut everything down. I heard there was one time that the ETs and the UFOs actually turned on the detonator button and then shut it off again to show how much power they had. So I'm really happy to hear about that because, I'm ready for this golden age to begin. Lemuria, the ancient continent of Mu, was the golden age, last golden age that we had. It was probably about, I'm thinking it lasted through the Iron Age, Bronze Age. So it was after all of the you know, the ages, but it lasted the longest. They say 1,000 years was the last time, but I believe, according to the studies of Lemuria, it lasted millions of years, because, you know, what the Bible says is a day could be a millennia, you know. So according to Lemuria and the teachings and the recordings, it looks like they lasted millions of years before there was a fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
And what they call the fall from grace is people became corrupt. They became kind of focused on themselves instead of the, you know, how they can serve others. They, you know, started looking at outside, you know, means instead of inside means. They became, in Lemuria, we were five-dimensional beings, which means we could go in and out of physicality if we wanted to. But as time progressed and we kind of downgraded our thinking, we became more physical. So it seems like the passage through, you know, from being, you know, spiritual to being physical was a change in our attitude, our change in our thoughts, and our change in our feelings. And what's happening right now, according to the Galactic Fed, is that our bodies are being upgraded through the energy coming from the sun. The mm-hmm. sun, I've learned, may not be as hot as it seems. According to the physicist Nassim Haramein, who, you know, takes pictures of the suns and all the planetary bodies that you know, focus, you know, around our sun, that the sun seems to have a system of beings that live there and, you know, what do you call it? You can see UFOs or, you know, things flying in and out of the sun. So there may be plasma beings who live there. The heat of the sun that we receive may be a byproduct of some energy that's created that, you know, leaves the sun and generates heat on its way to us. So there are different, you know, hypotheses to, you know, how we're formed and how we live. And, you know, of course, Nassim Haramein, being the leading edge physicist who acknowledged non-matter as being 100% of matter, is someone that I would, you know, subscribe to way more than any other physicist, because he acknowledges the spirit and he acknowledges the air and he acknowledges the fact that in every piece of matter is non-matter. So when we're looking at studying, you know, the spiritual nature of ourselves, we have to understand we're 100% spirit. Every part of our cell has air or oxygen in it that is the, you know, the God particle. So what I've been studying, the reason why I've been studying it is because I wanted to understand my power and how I could, you know, create under my own circumstances from my own place here in my little spot in Hawaii. So that's been my continued research. And, of course, in order to study the future, you typically have to study the past. So I've been mm-hmm. going into the ancient artifacts. You know, the ancient remnants that have Klaus Dohna had found, the remnants of Yonaguni off the coast of Japan, the sunken temple that's about 90 feet underwater. And I've been listening to Ignatius Donnelly, who was, I believe he was way back when, I'm not sure if it was the early 1900s, but he was a politician who he tried to run for office on the East Coast and he didn't get elected. So he ended up having access to the Library of Congress, and ended up studying the information on Lemuria and Atlantis. And I have an audiobook that I've posted on my Lemuria page that anyone is welcome to join. It's called Lemuria, the Continent of Mu, and it's on my Facebook page. I also have a Facebook page which I like to direct people to because it you know, it reveals more of the of who I am here on Facebook.
That's great. We also have a question in the chat room, but go ahead and give that information, and then I'll ask this question that this person has in the chat room for you.
Okay, great. It's Claire K. Baja, Hawaii, and you're welcome to, you know, give me a call as well, 808-756-4874.
Okay. So we have a question from Really Doe Radio. They want to know, what does the name YHWH mean to this being? So I would assume that's Yahweh. I'm not really sure. YHWH, what does that name mean to this being that you're talking about, she's asking, or he or she is asking?
Yahweh was a, I believe he was a, they call him God. Yahweh is another name for God. So I believe that it's just another form of the way that we speak to him, speak to God. But there are many names for God. But Yahweh was one of the original names that, you know, they had recorded as a reference to God. So I'm not sure exactly what they used him as, except that in Hawaii, I know that when we speak of ha, the breath, like aloha, it has power. Ha means breath. And I know that Yahweh, when people speak like Sanskrit, they are speaking the power of God. And Yahweh is one of the original words that reference God. So the word Yahweh comes from way back when. This was when ancient Lyra was in the process of being Lyra, L-I-R-A, was a planet that was I believe the lion people came from. And you'll notice the Sphinx was in the form of a lion. It had paws and everything before the pharaohs got to it and manipulated the face and put a pharaoh face on it. It was a lion face. And Lyra was the star system where the Lyrans came from, the lion people. And they were one of the first inhabitants of Earth. Planet had been had been in war, and I believe it got taken over, and so they left and were immigrants here, to refugees from their kingdom, and made their kingdom here, and that's why you see the Sphinx. Ancient structures that they had built, but the Sphinx with the lion head was the original, structure, megalithic structure. And the Sphinx faces Leo. So Lyra seemed to be in the constellation of Leo, which is also the lion. So when you look back in all of it, you'll see the connection, but it takes, like, you know, studying all of these different aspects of it to see. But Yahweh was one of the one of their power names, so I believe it has to do with the fish as well, the ichthys, and the Jesus has the fish form, the agape fish. I believe Yahweh has to do with that as well. Now, the fish, in studying, you know, Lemuria and who these people are that came. Supposedly, and according to, this is the African Dogon tribe in Mali, is that their teacher And even in Hawaii, there was a teacher, and he supposedly he came from the ocean, and his name was his name has totally slipped me. Oh, the name was, he was the Dogon Tribe of Mali. The name was Nomos, and it was a Nomos group. Dagon was the name of the leader, and it was the Nomos people. And what they were, what Dagon was, and you'll notice in the Sumerian text is that Dagon was a fish god. He was half fish, half man. And he came, mm-hmm. Supposedly, they came, they may have come from the ocean or the sky and dropped into the ocean, but they were fish beings who, to this day, the Catholic Church follows. So when you look at all of the information, even though they look like mermaids, I mean they were half fish, half man, and you look at the mitres on the Catholic Church, you know, the Pope wears that big fish head hat. That's a reiteration of the Dagon, and their god, so I've been studying mermaids, and when I learned that the Catholic Church was following this, the Dagon mermaid, and you know what power they've had, and all the molestations, and all the weird stuff that they've been doing, you know, behind closed doors, and you know, having the biggest bank in the world, Vatican Bank, and you know, all this dark stuff. I tend to wonder creation of, you know, of certain beings, and it's just been really interesting to see both sides of the coin, you know what I mean, researching Jesus and Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, and then finding out that the lineage that their children had married into was the Merovingian bloodline, and that's when you talk about anything myrrh. Any Marys, all the Marys of the Catholic Church, all the Marys of the Bible, Mary Magdalene, Merovingian, anything that has myrrh in it is mermaid related. So tend to look at the deeper history of why they call them myrrh. And so anyway, the Merovingian bloodline, which I was studying last night, was the story was that King Merovi of, I believe it was France, he supposedly had two fathers. One was Clovis, and the other was a sea serpent that the queen had engaged in when she went swimming one day, and I wasn't sure if it was the ocean or the river. But King Merovi was the beginning of the Merovingian bloodline. And the story was that the mother had some relationship with a Quinitar, which is a half bull, half fish being. Mm-hmm. And
so
I can't help but.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't help but be amazed by, you know, the history, the true history is way more interesting than Encyclopedia Britannica has ever taught us. So I think that's what has intrigued me for so long is the fact that the real truth was way more interesting, and I've been wanting to, like, dig it up, you know. So anyways, of course, in my research, I find all this stuff. I mean, I'm surprised that you know, that Hawaii hasn't had more, you know, public history on it, because we have so many ancient structures that are halfway in the ocean, halfway out. We have a hotel here on the Kona Coast, right down the street from where I live, and it was haunted. So it closed down. And the reason why it may have been haunted was because it was built on, of course, sacred land. And the story of the area, that area was that the there were Mo'o twins, which are lizard prophetesses, and they lived. Yeah, they were prophetesses of a queen lizard who lived in the area, and they themselves, because they helped the community so much, became goddesses themselves because they were so respected. To me, it sounds like they were like oracles, like in Japan or China, how they have those Chinese snake lady who stand, you know, who like is behind the shoji doors, and you talk to her, and she'll give you a, you know, she'll give you a reading. It's kind of like that. And so, anyways. The hotels were haunted. There were two hotels. One was the Kiaho Beach Hotel, who just recently shut down in the last 2 years, and the other one was the Kona Lagoon, which was also a seven-story building that was built on the same piece of land, just on the other side of the spring. There's a spring, brackish water spring in the middle of these two hotels, and the hauntings had to do with, trays. Employees were getting, you know, thrown around, or there were trays being thrown at them. That people would see big warriors, 12-foot-tall beings standing in the hallway. Of course, you know, things would be flying inside their room. Things would be rummaged through, and no one was in the room. You know, there was levitation, things being, you know, floating through the air and that kind of stuff. So anyways, there was a lot of interesting things that were unexplainable going on in that area. So they had the Shutcation Center, which I think would be great. And I hope that they are able to share the truth about the islands, because I must have had about 5 or 6 stories from different people, different local people from all over the islands talking about mermaids. So, you know, there's so
that's
much more.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, but before we do, why don't you tell everybody how to get a hold of you?
Okay, great. Yes, it's Claire Baggio, and I'm in Kalokona, Hawaii. My number is 808-756-4874 or claire808@hawaii.rr.com. That's my email. And you can reach me on the Facebook page at Claire K. Baggio, Hawaii.
Right, Claire K. Baggio, Hawaii. That's what I was telling people in the chat room. You can find me at starwea@hotmail.com, or you can find me at Amanda Dowell, 1L. And if you want to check out Kiera's page, it's caringbridge.org. And then you type in K-E-I-R-A, Stout, S-T-O-U-T, and you can go there and offer your prayers and light to her. We're going to take a really quick commercial break and come back. You're listening to WGGM Radio. My guest is Claire Baggio from Hawaii. You can find her at Facebook, Claire K. Baggio, Hawaii. We will be right back after this commercial break. See you in a minute.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com. Our program is being brought to you by ShotNet Web Hosting, reliable web hosting for everyone. Feature rich, reliable, and affordable. Create your own site in minutes with ShotNet's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's shot-net.com.
I'm wide awake.
Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Amanda.
This has been a lovely show. We've got a few minutes left. I wanted to again mention that you can find Claire on Facebook at Claire Bajo, Hawaii. And you can find Kiera at caringbridge.org. K-E-I-R-A, Stout, S-T-O-U-T. She's a 7-year-old little girl who's going through some chemo and radiation treatments. You can go to her page and read her story and offer your prayers. I have been here with Claire Bajo from Hawaii, and it's just been an absolute pleasure to have her today. We're going to bring her back 8 minutes left and let her talk a little bit more and give her information again. Welcome back to the show, Claire.
Thank you, Amanda. Did you have any questions?
You are so welcome. Well, I don't really have any questions. We have no callers in the chat room. I figured with the 7 minutes left, you could share a little bit more, then we'll end the show.
Okay, great. Maybe what I'll share is the monatomic gold that the scientists speak of, and one of the things of the Big Island that we have here on top of some other natural resources is the monatomic gold that seeps out of the shoreline here when you swim anywhere on the Kona coast where the turquoise waters are, especially down by the Mauna Lani and the Hapuna and Kua Bay. There's freshwater artesian wells that seep out of the shoreline there. So when you jump in the water and you drink the water, it upgrades your DNA and rejuvenates your cells, opens your pineal gland, your third eye, and you can heal yourself from cancer. You can heal yourself from anything, really. If you're feeling down and out, you have a cold, you have some kind of ailment, you just jump in the water and relax in the sun for a little while, and you feel, like, amazingly better. So I think Kiera should come to Hawaii and jump in the ocean here because, you know, I truly believe that you can heal yourself. And, of course, I healed myself of thyroid cancer without chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. So I know it can be done, but every soul has purpose. So, you know, there's no judgment to why these things happen to people, but, you know, it's I just pray for her, and I hope that she finds that she can heal herself. And, you know, it's going to take changing her thoughts, changing her, you know, potential environment. If her environment is feeding her whatever she's manifesting inside her body, or if it's a soul contract that she was meant to experience. So I just pray for her, whatever it is. I hope that it blesses, you know, her and others in her walk, because that's all we're here to do, is to be a light to each other, you know, in whatever way we can. So thank you for having me on, Amanda.
Absolutely. It was a real pleasure having you on, and thank you for sharing all your beautiful thoughts. We have about 5 minutes left, so maybe you can give everybody your information again, and then we'll just end the show from there.
Okay, great. Yes, if people are being called to Hawaii, they don't know why, they just have dreams about dolphins or whales or, you know, paradise, please give me a call. I love helping people to find out where their heart truly is, wherever it's, even if it's not in Hawaii. I like to help people just kind of be true to their self. And you're welcome to contact me on Facebook at Claire K. Bhadra Hawaii. I also have some other pages that I facilitate, Galactic Federation of Light, Lemuria, the Continent of Mu, and also the Abraham Hicks Study Group, which is the Law of Attraction. And then my phone number is 808-756-4874. And you can also email me at Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, 808, at hawaii.rr.com. And thank you so much, Amanda. This has been great. I realize that I get to summarize everything that I've been studying in the last, you know, a few months or so. So it really, I appreciate you asking me to come on, because it kind of sharpens my skills on being able to kind of speak off the cuff here. So appreciate you.
You are very welcome, but I just really appreciate you and coming on and, you know, being here and sharing your story and things like that. You know, I always enjoy hearing from someone like you. Everything that you have to share and everything that, you know, goes on, it's just such an amazing joy to have you here and to, you know, see what goes on. And like I said, I agree. I think everybody should come to Hawaii and check it out and feel what you have going on. So I really appreciate you being here, Claire, and we'll have you on again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sadie.
All right. Blessings, everyone. Aloha. You've been listening to WGGM Radio. And again, if you want to check out, Kiara Stout's page, she's a little girl in Missouri going through some chemo treatments. You can check her out at caringbridge.org. And her name is K-E-I-R-A, Stout, S-T-O-U-T. I know that her family and she would appreciate your help and your prayers. And again, you've been listening to WGGM Radio. I'm Amanda Dowell. This is Messages of Light, and we will see you next Monday at the same time, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I want to thank all of you for listening today. And check out Claire at Claire Bhadra. She is over on Facebook. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Blessings. Aloha, and thank you, Claire. Blessings to everyone.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life. Oh
thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher.
Yeah! And it said, something about the 90s. Something about the 90s.